Prions la prière d'illumination. Seigneur notre Dieu, merci pour ta parole que tu nous as donnée. Avant de la lire maintenant, nous te demandons ton Esprit Saint, afin qu'il nous ouvre le cœur et l'intelligence. Que par ton Esprit, ta parole nous ouvre le sens de notre vie et nous fasse naître de nouveau à toi et pour toi. Nous te le demandons au nom de Jésus. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord our God, thank you for the word you gave us. Before reading, we ask your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds. Through your Spirit, may your word reveal to us the meaning of our lives, and may this lead to us being born again to you and for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nous avons une lecture ce matin dans l'Évangile de Luc, au chapitre 15, les versets 1 à 10. Les collecteurs d'impôts et les pécheurs s'approchaient tous de lui pour l'écouter. Et les pharisiens et les scribes murmuraient. Ils disaient : Cet homme-là fait bon accueil aux pécheurs et mange avec eux. Alors, il leur dit cette parabole : Lequel d'entre vous, s'il a 100 brebis et qu'il en perd une, ne laisse pas les 99 autres dans le désert pour aller à la recherche de celle qui est perdue jusqu'à ce qu'il l'ait retrouvée ? Et quand il l'a retrouvée, il la charge tout joyeux sur ses épaules, et de retour à la maison, il réunit ses amis et ses voisins et leur dit : Réjouissez-vous avec moi, car je l'ai retrouvée, ma brebis qui était perdue. Je vous le déclare, c'est ainsi qu'il y aura de la joie dans le ciel pour un seul pécheur qui se convertit, plus que pour 99 justes qui n'ont pas besoin de conversion. Ou encore, quelle femme, si elle a 10 pièces d'argent et qu'elle en perd une, n'allume pas une lampe, ne balaye la maison et ne cherche avec soin jusqu'à ce qu'elle l'ait retrouvée. Et quand elle l'a retrouvée, elle réunit ses amis et ses voisines et leur dit « Réjouissez-vous avec moi, car je l'ai retrouvée, la pièce que j'avais perdue. » C'est ainsi, je vous le déclare, qu'il y a de la joie chez les anges de Dieu pour un seul pécheur qui se convertit. Amen.
The choir is very excited to sing, so our reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke. We read from chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. You can follow the reading in the program as well. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen.
Amen.
There is a well-known popular saying, one lost, ten found. You know it. We may have used it to console a friend abandoned by a partner, or a child whose best friend has to move far away. Perhaps we have even heard it ourselves as an attempt at comfort when a relationship broke off, or when we began a painful divorce procedure. This saying is meant to be soothed, to be friendly, to open a path towards the future. And yet, it says the very opposite of the parable Jesus tells. Jesus tells the story of a shepherd in the desert who loses one of his 100 sheep and who sets out in search of it until he finds it. That reunion is a source of immense joy for him because finding the sheep means everything to him. And to celebrate, he gathers his friends and neighbors for a feast. In the same way, a woman who loses one of her 10 silver coins, a drachma, turns her house upside down until she finds it and celebrates the reunion with her friends and neighbors. Pretty much the same story. In summary, when one person is missing, when one is absent, no joy, no complete joy is possible. Because the sheep is missing, because the coin is missing, the flock is incomplete, the purse is impoverished. What is one sheep when you have 100? What is a coin when you have 10? We may think that the time and energy wasted in finding them may exceed their market value. But this is not the point. For the shepherd, there is no rest for the mind, for the soul or heart until he has found the sheep. And the same is true for the woman with her drachma. Brothers and sisters, we have understood. The shepherd and the woman help us to understand who God is and the kind of love he has for us. We are not just one among 10, one among 100, among 1,000, among the 8 billion people who populate planet Earth. But we are unique and irreplaceable beings. Our absence in his flock creates such a void that to the point that he will do anything to find us and bring us back. A single being is missing, and the whole world is depopulated. Un seul être vous manque et tout est dépeuplé. This is a phrase by Lamartine, a French romantic writer and poet in the 19th century. And so it is with God. The absence of just one member on his flock, his church, leaves everything diminished. Except that God's love surpasses mere romantic or sentimental notions, of course. It goes beyond human feelings, beyond reason itself. Jesus tells this parable to the scribes and Pharisees who were scandalized that he ate with sinners and outcasts. These scribes and Pharisees considered themselves to be the religious elite, the righteous and faithful, pure in the eyes of God. And for them, steeped in the law of Moses, God had no contact with impurity or sin. But here comes Jesus, ushering a new era in which God's unconditional love and grace are offered to all, especially to those who do not know him or who have turned away from him. Even more, even better, by his very presence in the world, Jesus declares, "Through me, it is God who comes to you. You no longer need to exhaust yourselves trying to reach him. Your sacrifices, your flawless lives, your efforts to keep the law, and for us today, we could say, your meditation practices to elevate yourself spiritually, your volunteer work to reassure yourselves of being good Christians, your countless activities and even your prayers of praise, all of these are you trying to go up to God. But I came to tell you, Jesus, God comes to you. God seeks you. Simply allow yourselves to be found by him. In me, you have access to him." Yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the shepherd who seeks us out to bring us back to his flock. Ambroise, a church father of the 4th century, comments on this parable by saying that the shepherd who carries the sheep on his shoulders, with arms raised to hold it, is Christ, whose arms are fixed upon the cross. And just as human beings resemble the sheep, they also resemble the coin. They bear the image of their king, the image of God. That's beautiful. We have noticed that nothing is said about why the sheep was lost. Did it wander off in search of adventure? Did it stay behind as the flock moved on? Did it fall into a hole by accident? Did it meet an animal along the way and go off to flirt with it? Did it panic at the sight of danger and run? We do not know, and nothing is said about the sheep's character, because it does not matter. What matters is the shepherd who does everything to find it. Thus, perhaps, it would be more fitting to call this story the parable of the shepherd with 100 sheep, rather than the parable of the lost sheep. And likewise, the parable of the woman with 10 coins, 10 drachmas, rather than the parable of the lost coin. The heart of the story is God and his love for the lost sinner. God, Jesus, the shepherd of a flock, of a people, of a community, of the church. For him, it is essential that the flock be whole, because his plan for humanity is a plan of community. He knows that our true place is within the church, within the family of God's children. The local church, of course, but also the universal church. We know that, of which Christ is the head. Dear students of Bosse, here in Bosse you are a flock, not of 100 sheep, but, if I'm not wrong, of 29 this year. God wants you to gather for the time you spend here. Each one of you has immeasurable value to him. Immeasurable value. He does not want even one of you to be lost. When times are hard, then maybe, be sure of Jesus' love for you. Be sure that he will find you and bring you back into the flock. Brothers and sisters, we must admit we are all sinners. I'm sorry. We are all lost. If we believe otherwise, we are lying to ourselves, to others, and to God. Sin is within us and continually separates us from God, leading us away from his flock. But we must also accept that we are loved, loved by God in a way that we cannot understand. His love surpasses our human logic because he created us in his image to belong to him. We are his children, members of his flock, each with infinite value to him. And he will never stop searching until he finds us. This has to be clear for us. Christ will keep knocking at our door until we open it. So, one lost, ten found? Is it it? No, for God, for sure, it is one lost, one that shall be found at any cost. One that he will carry on his shoulder. And on that day, there will be joy in heaven, as there is every time we return to him. For we must continually allow ourselves to be carried by the one who seeks us. We must convert, repent again and again. As Jean Calvin, John Calvin, wrote in his commentary on these parables, the exercise of repentance must be continual so long as we are in this world, and there is no one who is exempt from this necessity. God seeks us. God finds us, and he always will. For in his eyes, we are worth an infinite price, the price of his son. Amen. Thank you.